This podcast contains content that may be disturbing to some listeners. Check the episode description for more details and resources. And please, take care of yourself.
Dear Krishna, our first date was perfect. You asked me to ice cream and we split two scoops, banana and caramel. You ate slow, so I ended up eating most of it. You insisted on paying, and I didn't say no. It's a habit from my childhood, when my mother, brother, and I were a hair away from homeless. I learned to swallow my pride and let other people pay for me when they ask, even when they expect me to contradict them or offer to pay at least half. It is something I've come to anticipate. You didn't seem to expect a counteroffer, though. And we sat there talking until the man behind the counter started to shoot us dirty looks. He wanted to close up shop. We went to a bookstore instead because I had said how much I liked them. I didn't intend to ghost you. In fact, after the first date, I thought we might be together for a while, just casually. You plan on going to law school the next year, away from New York, but neither of us was looking for something serious at the time. With each date, though, I felt more dread leaving my apartment. Anxiety weighed down on my lungs and made each breath its own effort. We had gone on 3 dates when you texted me to ask if I wanted to see The Book of Eli in theaters. I didn't. And I didn't particularly want to see anything else with you either.
That wasn't your fault. I never wrote you back. And you never checked in.
It hurts to be ghosted, and I know that. That hasn't stopped me from doing it several times when I'm overwhelmed, depressed, or anxious. Just because I know it's wrong doesn't stop me from doing it. It just means I feel bad about it later. I bring a whole new meaning to the cliche, it's not you, it's me. Several years before you, I ghosted another girl, then a pre-law student who was a vegetarian like me. We had every interest in common. We liked the same pizza place in Vet-Stuy and fangirled over the same books and movies. The biggest difference between us was that she had grown up religious in a way that I, in my Reformed Jewish household, had not. She had never read Harry Potter because her parents feared witches. Most of the 80s and 90s pop music I knew by heart, she had only learned about as a college student. Her childhood instead had been supplemented with Christian rock. If anything, this made her more open, more excited to learn about new things. She told me about how in college, each of her friends would teach her about their different interests until she became an amalgamation of the people she knew best. Much of what were now her likes and dislikes matched mine as perfectly as they would if I had designed the date myself. And yet, I found my mind wandering when she spoke. There was nothing between us, no connection. When she kissed me in a subway station in Lower Manhattan, I had my eyes open the whole time. I perseverated for days over whether or not to give her a second chance.
When she texted me to ask what I was doing that weekend, I didn't answer.
I tried to ghost another girl, someone I'd met weeks before and whom I'd not been compatible with either, but for different reasons. From the first, she was insecure, seeking validation in the way she compared herself to me and awkwardly referencing when she would meet my family. When I didn't respond to her asking for a second date, she sent me a message. Can you at least tell me what I did wrong?
I cringed at my Nokia and asked my friend to help me draft a response back.
She did, and I wrote something along the lines of, I'm sorry, I was wrong not to text you. I didn't think we had chemistry, but I should have told you that earlier, wishing you the best with everything. I thought I had done it all right until she sent another text that said, it really hurt my feelings.
We went back and forth for a while, me apologizing again and again, and her telling me that she was going to die alone and that you really can't tell chemistry from one date and that you shouldn't ghost people, which I thought would have been obvious, even if I did it anyway.
Near the end, she said, "I guess that's it then. You can go ahead and block me now," which honestly didn't make me any more inclined to give her a second chance. Kobe was the last person I dated before I met you. You being the last person before I got together with Zora. We went on 3 dates, the same number of dates you and I went on together. We two got ice cream together in Dumbo and sat down by the water before going back to her apartment. We talked about shitty first dates in Brooklyn and how we were both adopted. She showed me the view of the Manhattan skyline she had paid an obscene amount of money for. She kissed me against the New York City backdrop, and we went back to her studio. On our second date, we watched The Blind Side in theaters. It wasn't nearly gay enough for us, so we went back to her apartment after that and watched Imagine Me and You instead. The one where Piper Parable fakes an atrocious British accent and ends up with Lena Headey. We had sex that night for the first time, and I fell asleep in her arms. I left at some ungodly hour the next morning, Kobe's eyes still shut. That third date, we got dinner at a vegan diner in Williamsburg and saw Foster the People at a crowded bar. She didn't invite me back that night. She had a going away party for a colleague she was going to make a spectacularly late entrance to. The next morning, I texted her that I'd had a great time. She texted me back that she really liked me, but didn't have time to date, really. Did I want to be friends? Kobe didn't ghost me, so I can't say I know how you feel. And I really don't know that you liked me the way I liked Kobe. I berated myself for getting too attached after 3 dates and told her that I was sad, but I hoped the best for her. With Kobe, I felt a flutter in my chest that I hadn't felt since high school, and I wouldn't feel again until Zora.
Maybe it was silly, since we hadn't known each other for very long. That's what I told myself then anyway.
I don't really know why I'm writing to you. I haven't spoken to you in years. I wouldn't know how to get this letter to you, even if I wanted to send it. I guess I'm writing you this letter because I know you deserve an apology. You were a sort of rebound after Kobe, even though I suppose you can't really rebound from someone you were never dating. You were good, and you cared, and you wanted us to be happy together. Just spend time. I'm sorry I didn't want the same. I suppose part of me feels a need to apologize for dating you before I was truly ready. I know I can't stop the anxiety and the depression and the desperation I felt when I thought of spending time with you. It's something I've struggled with for a long time, but I've come to accept that it's sometimes out of my hands. That I shouldn't have said yes to a date before I had these things under control at least a little bit. It's been years and you've moved on, but I do want to say that I wish you the best, Krishna. In a different way than the others. I wish you the best because you're a good person who happened to be fucked over by someone in a bad place. You deserve to be happy. And I hope you are. All the best.